Be seated. You may be seated. And I'm very glad to see jackets coming off because we wanted to give you a warm welcome on this Christmas Eve Sunday. And I see that Mock and Carol are here today. They did not get a warm welcome last Sunday, I am told, because somehow, some way, there was very little heat in the building. So we're glad that we can give you a good warm welcome on this special Sunday morning. I want to turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. Just this one verse before we open in prayer and make our request to the Lord. Matthew 2, verse 11. Just this one verse. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they worshipped him. That's what we've come to do today. And here all these years later, around the world, multitudes are still worshipping the newborn king. And I trust that in your heart, there will be today the spirit of worship and desire to give unto the Lord your praises and your devotion. So let's unite in prayer, and we'll lift up our hearts unto the Lord today. Father, we thank Thee for gathering us here in Thy house, not just on a social visit, but to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank Thee that we are gathered here today out of the great goodness of God in the liberties, the freedoms, the blessings that we enjoy, but also because of that liberty which the Lord Jesus purchased for us by coming all the way from heaven to free us from sin's bondage, from the devil's captivity, and to bring light and liberty to our souls. We thank Thee for the perfect life, the supernatural life of our Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for the miracles and the ministry. We thank Thee for this glorious gospel which He proclaimed, the kingdom of God that is eternal and yet is within our hearts. We thank Thee that to purchase us to enter that kingdom, that our Lord Jesus went all the way to the cross. There, though made of a woman, born under the law, He made Himself subject to the cross, to death, that He might redeem them that were under the law. And so we thank Thee today for everyone gathered here with that personal testimony that they know that their sins are forgiven, that they are born of the Spirit and have this entrance into the kingdom. And one day we shall be with Christ, which is far better. We pray for your grace upon us in this gathering as we sing these hymns of praise, as we turn to your word, and all grant that in all things we will be true worshipers in spirit and in truth. We pray that you will bless the families of our congregation. Remember those that are burdened with the burden of bereavement at this time. We pray for your grace, and we remember the Routley family today. We remember others who, for whom there will be a missing place at the table. O Lord, comfort and pour in your grace. We pray for those who travel, and we thank Thee for those who have returned already. And we ask, O Lord, that You will keep Your hand upon each one. Remember those who cannot join us, and some by webcast are joining in. O Lord, bless Your people. Bless our congregation in Victoria and Prince George this morning. We pray, Lord, that You will meet with them, and may there be rejoicing in every heart, because Christ is come and come to save His people. And now, let thy blessing be upon us. O Lord, let thy grace fill our hearts. Bless the children. We thank thee for them in the midst, and we pray that you'll open their ear to understand and comprehend the very simplicity of faith in the Lord Jesus. We ask it all and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I've been praying for the children. Now we have a hymn for the children, Away in a Manger, and it's number 113. 113, Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed. No, 112, I think that'll be better. 112 has three stanzas, so we better turn to that one. 112, Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed, The Little Lord Jesus Laid Down His Sweet Head. Let's stand to sing then. We are coming back to that same chapter in the Bible, Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to read all the way down from verse 1 down to verse 12. So I hope that you'll follow along in your own copy of God's Word, and we're looking at Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's read together the Lord's Word, and I trust you'll be blessed in heart. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Amen. We'll end right there, and may this word be a blessing to each and every heart here this morning. And again, I welcome you. Thank you for coming on this Sunday morning. We're thankful for your attendance here, and some who are family, friends, and so on. And we have two Christmas babies in our congregation this morning. I better firstly mention the regular, and that's Titus. Titus Samuel. He is all of, what, 4 months now? 3 months? Four. And then we have Bodie. This is Bryce and Janine's boy, and he was born at the end of April, so he's here today as well. These are first-time Christmas babies in our midst, so I'm hoping that I can preach Bodie into silence today. That'll be my challenge for today. And some who are visiting as well, nice to see Mr. and Mrs. Froberg here, Michael and his girlfriend as well, Mom and Dad, of course, from Williams Lake, and we're delighted to have them in our midst here today. Our webcast viewers, we are welcoming you as well on this special Sunday, and our folks in Victoria, your preacher has deserted you, and he's here in our midst this morning, and we're thankful for his fellowship along with Carol, and then also our people in Prince George, and people who join in and depend on this for their Sunday morning worship. May the Lord bless you, encourage your heart today through his word. This evening we have our Christmas Eve service, and each year we like to do this no matter what day Sunday, Christmas Eve falls upon, but today it's on Sunday, so that's easy. Just keep to our schedule, and we have our Christmas Eve service at 6 p.m. We'll be doing some extra carol singing, and we'll have the message of the Lord's Word as well. So we invite you to come for 6 p.m. Bring your friends and family. We look forward to that this evening. Of course, there's no work tomorrow, so there's no reason not to come and join with us and enjoy the fellowship of the evening. Let me invite you to sign our Christmas card, which is that large card on the foyer table. And this is, instead of, you know, passing all kinds of Christmas cards to one another, we sign this card, and we have the opportunity to donate to a good cause, a girls' orphanage in Nepal. And this orphanage is run by the Reverend Paul Thapa and his wife, and we have given to this before, and we're thankful for those who have already given, and we trust that you will do so even today. On Wednesday, we have our prayer meeting as usual, and it may be that we will be meeting upstairs on Wednesday because there will be some work going on through the week downstairs to repair some walls and drywall and things that are with pipes exposed. That work will be starting on Wednesday. So it may be that we'll be on the upstairs. But thankfully, we have heat for here, and we can arrange that. Next Sunday is New Year's Eve. And, of course, we will again have our two main services. No Sunday school, but our two main services. And, of course, we invite you to join us for that and come. The evening service, of course, will take the form of looking backwards and looking forwards. And we'll do that as well in our Wednesday prayer meeting. It will be a praise meeting, really, as we think of the Lord's help and blessings through the year of 2017. So we trust you'll come and join with us. And I should not forget to announce, next Sunday evening, afterwards, there will be refreshments. It's the last Sunday. It's New Year's Eve, And we invite you to come for that fellowship time immediately after the evening service. We're not doing that this evening because I know it's Christmas Eve. People may have family things on and so on. But we trust you'll come this evening and join with us. Our offering hymn is number 102. Offering hymn 102. See in yonder manger low, born for us on earth below. Hymn 102. Shall we stand? Oh, sorry. Stay seated.
Stay seated. All right. See in yonder manger
Rusma, lead us in prayer, please.
Our heavenly God and Father, we come unto thee on this blessed day, a Sunday, a day of rest, a day of looking forward. We thank thee, Lord, for thy coming, that we may remember, that we may take it to heart, that thou came into the world to save sinful men. We thank thee, Lord, that thou came as prophesied into Bethlehem, and that we may sing praises to thee, that we may remember, that we may share, and that we may know that our Lord Jesus lives, loves his people. We thank thee, Lord, for thy gifts that you give to us. We return a portion, that thy gospel message may go forth. Bless those that hear it. Bless those that worship this day. Bless our pastor as he would bring that word. And Lord, that we may all rejoice in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, our King and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, just a tiny touch, we're going to go downstairs with Mrs. Hansen. I'd like to thank her for doing that today. Let's stand. We'll sing again verses 4 and 6. 4 and 6, a verse of hymn 102.
Every venture that we
I should have welcomed Dawn's husband, Shin, into our midst today. He's here for the Christmas season, and we're thankful to see them together today. Let's all unite in prayer. We'll ask for the Lord's help as we turn to His Word this morning. Father, we thank Thee. We thank Thee for Thy grace to us. What a wonderful thing on this Lord's Day to be like wise men who seek the Lord Jesus. We pray that that Spirit will indeed fill our hearts and that You will lead us into all truth. Deliver us from every hardness of heart. Give us simple faith to trust in the Savior whom the Father hath given. And, oh, work in us Thy perfect will. Bless and help in the preaching of Thy word. Give the help I need, O Lord. Speak to every heart, we ask. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen, amen. I might shock you by saying that what we read of here in Matthew 2 could be 2 years after the birth of the Lord Jesus. I know that we associate the wise men seeking Jesus, but they didn't go to the manger. They didn't go to the stable. We are told in this chapter that they went to a house. And the words that are used to describe the child is not an infant, but a toddler. And you remember that Herod, after he discovered that there was a king of a sort born, that all children under 2 years old should be killed. It is quite likely that when these wise men arrived, that this little infant had grown up somewhat, and his little pattering feet were running around the floor of the home. Now, how come Bethlehem was so quiet? How come there weren't, like today to Bethlehem, thousands of visitors? Tourists out of curiosity even. How come there was no interest in this child until this time? And how did these Easterners, these Oriental magi, discover of this child and decide that they would make the journey and go and worship him? Christians, of course, are funny people. They just drop their employment and they go to worship the Lord Jesus. I hope that describes your life, that there are those times when you just cease from the affairs of this world and you go to worship the Lord Jesus. Like these wise men too, you will find that some of the most unlikely people become Christians. I'm one of them. When I was a young lad, I had no interest in being religious, no interest in being a Christian. I was not a Bible reader, Bible lover, Bible thumper. Some people call me that now, and that's good. But the Lord brings those that are most unlikely to become His followers. These three men. Well, the Bible doesn't say three men, but whatever number of wise men there were who arrived at the gates of Jerusalem, they were seeking this newborn king of the Jews. The star had led them, but then it vanished for a time. And so they came to the gates of the city and they began their inquiry. What child? We don't know of any king that is born. And when that news spread around the city and got to the palace where Herod lived, he was really rattled. A king? What kind of king? And of course he came and spoke to these wise men and said, "Now, you go, find the child, and when you do, come back and tell me all about it, because I want to worship him too." Now that was a joke. That was far from the truth. Because in those days, kings tottered on the line of popularity. not with the democratic society, but with Rome and Caesar. And if Herod stepped out of line, he could lose his job very easily. And if he allowed one in the midst to ascend, oh, what trouble that might bring unto him. What a remarkable story, even apart from the fact that this child was the Son of God, now born in human flesh, that there was a miracle that had taken place in Mary's womb, which produced this child without ever knowing a man, thereby virgin conceived, virgin born, and this was in all ways a supernatural child. But the wise men were coming to seek him. Are you seeking him today? On this Christmas Eve, we do well to each one become seekers of the Lord Jesus. To drop all and take an interest in who is this child, we must go and worship him. And today I am burdened for those who will not make the time or take the opportunity to seek the Lord Jesus. For those we have great concern, no interest in the greatest event of human history, of God becoming flesh and born in our likeness to be the Savior of the world. I want to look at these three wise men as a model of how seekers should seek the Lord Jesus. I want us to walk where they walked and learn the things that they learned. And may the Holy Spirit come and teach us what it means to be a true seeker of the Lord. I have three things I want to say to you today. Three headings, I mean. 3 points. Firstly, in these wise men, we now acknowledge their surprising knowledge. Others didn't even know. But these strangers knew. There was their supernatural guidance. A star. His star. And then their spiritual motivation. They came to worship. That's the best part. That's what clinches these men as wise men. Now, the backdrop of these events then are this kingly child, this king of the Jews, is that no one else seemed to know or care. Bethlehem was asleep. I mean by that, going about their common affairs, bringing in the harvest, bringing in the grapes, processing them, surviving, getting enough food for the winter, the social events on the calendar, all of them, of course, from the Old Testament. But to celebrate the birth of the Son of God, that wasn't even on the calendar at that time. No one else was asking these questions, where is he that is born King of the Jews? So what moved these men to come seeking? Now, they are called wise men from the East. They were probably Persians, somewhere in Iran, Iraq, far off in that distance, at least 1,000 kilometers or 1,000 miles. This is the journey they had made. How could they even have a hint of such an event as the birth of the Son of God? Now remember the Jewish diaspora. Remember, for centuries, due to the exile from Jerusalem, when hundreds and thousands of Jews were carried into those lands as slaves. Remember Daniel. Remember how he prayed to his God, and the persecution of the Jews was turned to acknowledge the true and living God. And how Cyprus decreed that the Jews may return and rebuild Jerusalem. And so in those lands, there was the dispersion of these people with the knowledge of the Messiah that one day would be born. But their own testimony was, we have seen his star. And this is what awakened them to the Savior's birth. It made a great impression on them. These were magi, learned men. They were stargazers, astronomers, scientists, busy, occupied. And yet they just downed everything and were willing to say goodbye to family and home and make this long journey because they were impressed so powerfully by the light of this star, which they called his star. They knew also that they were looking for a child that was already born. They knew that. For 1,500 years since the time of Abraham, people were looking for the Messiah. For 1,500 years, families lived in the hope that such a child would be born into their midst. Yet all those years went by and never happened. And when it did happen, people didn't realize. But these wise men were so informed that this child was born. They also knew that he was born to be a king. And as I said, that's what rattled Herod. That political animal in Herod must have immediately muttered, "A king? I'll have to see to that." How did these wise men know these things? It's all so surprising. It was a kind of revelation. And it was a knowledge that was conveyed to them through the very work that they were about. Astronomers, stargazers. And so they saw his specific star. It was a strange phenomenon. And they must, out of curiosity, follow it that they might come and find this Jesus, this king that is born, king of the Jews. Isn't it amazing how God can use the very affairs of your work to lead you to be a Christian? Think of a farmer, and he's out in the fields, and he goes through the cycle of sowing, tending, watering, reaping, harvesting, winter season, plowing, and each year the cycle goes on, and it speaks of life itself. Today you sow, tomorrow you harvest, and death comes on, and you need a Savior. If there's any people that should recognize God at work in the midst, it is the farmer, the gardener, and those seeds you sow, when they grow, God's at work. There needs to be seeds of grace in your heart, gospel seeds that will lead you to personal faith in the Lord Jesus. Or a soldier, think of a soldier, that blasphemer, that ungodly, hardened man that trains for years, and then when he goes out to face the enemy and death, he recognizes that he might die and he needs a Savior. A number of years ago when the U.S. Army was engaging in battle in Iraq, and there's been so many new names and forces back and forth and in the land of Iraq, I can hardly remember who the enemy was in that particular battle. It wasn't Iran. And it was Al-Qaeda was the name at that time. And U.S. forces were launching out in a massive battle attack. And the word was that the U.S. soldiers were asking for Bibles, thousands of them, because they knew that as they engaged in that combat warfare, that they may face death. And they were made to realize that they needed hope beyond the grave, life beyond. Then, of course, there's financial loss. That teaches a whole lot about our need of the Lord. This week, the Bitcoin investors, well, they have lost a whole lot of money. That whole project has backfired. and it is the most dubious investment scheme that you could imagine. You remember a few years ago also, whenever the investors in New York were jumping out of skyscrapers, their investments crashed. Their bills were catching up with them, and they couldn't face the future. Financial loss is a great teacher. It makes us to realize how dependent we are upon God. The thing is that God can get your ear. God can open your heart. He has many ways of bringing you to your knees to realize your need of a Savior. And as God brought these wise men through the very work in which they were engaged, He can bring you, even through the affairs of life and the disappointments of life and the fears of life, to recognize that you need a Savior. Now, we come to this star, and here we have their supernatural guidance. All eyes were upon this star. It awoke their interest, and it guided them so marvelously all the way right here to Jerusalem. And of course, eventually, it led them to Jesus. That's the supernatural guidance. It led them right to Jesus. And I point out that the star was only a guide. They did not worship the star. The star was a means, it was not the end. It was a tool that God used to lead them to the home where Jesus lived. But they didn't worship the star. They came to worship Him. And that is like the Bible. The Bible is a wonder. The Holy Ghost has moved 40 authors to compile this Bible as the inspired Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, this is God's book, but it's all about Jesus. It's all about the Son of God. And if you begin to read the Bible with an open mind to look for Christ, you'll find Him. You'll find Him on every page of the book. And like those star, that star that was step by step leading them to Jesus, as you read the Scriptures, as you read the Bible, it will lead you to personal faith, and I trust to fall down and worship the Lord Jesus. We also find here that it was a returning star. For a little while, when they went to talk to Herod, they lost sight of the star, or the star went out of view. But it returned. If you look at verse 9, you will see the word "lo" in the midst there. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, lo, wonderfully, the star which they saw in the east went before them. It was a returning star. And you'll notice that it was the same star. These men knew their stars. They knew their P's and Q's of astronomy, and they could recognize this star. It was the same star which they had seen in the east, and it was carefully identified. You know, the Bible is an unchanging book. The Word of God that liveth and abideth forever, sometimes it's in vogue, and other times it's totally neglected. In a land like China, through the years of communism, this Bible has been despised and burned and destroyed, and sometimes Christians along with it. But today, the Bible is being printed in China, distributed, and in house churches and many other ministries, the Bible is in vogue again. And it's the same Word. It's the same gospel truth that leads men and women to Jesus right today. Now, it will faithfully lead you to find the Savior too. Have you ever tried it? Have you ever seriously opened the Bible to read and seek the message and to look for the Savior. I, of course, continually recommend to people to read the Bible, and sometimes I follow up and ask, well, how are you getting along with that Bible? And they usually get stuck somewhere, if they even get as far as Leviticus. And that's about the end of the Bible reading. And they say, I just can't understand all that. And I end up wanting to be like Philip, who went alongside the eunuch and said, well, let me help you. And Philip preached unto him Jesus. What was he reading? Isaiah 53? That middle chapter of the New Testament section in Isaiah. And he preached unto him Jesus. Another thing about this star I would point out, it was an accurate star. It led them right to the specific home. That would mean they would have to come down very low to identify the particular home. This was as good as a GPS system. You know, when you drive up and you've plugged in the address and you get to the destination, what will it tell you? You have arrived at your destination on the right. This star was just as good. And these wise men knew the home to knock and to seek an entrance that they might find the Lord Jesus. And I assure you today, after 40 years of Bible study, and every week for me is a Bible study to prepare to preach, this Bible will lead you aright. It will not mislead you. It will lead you to the knowledge of God and to His grace. As we sing in the children's hymn, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's the book. And this book is to us what the star was to the wise men. Now, if I was here today to preach to you that tonight there's going to be another star in the sky, you would be telling the whole city. It would be on the news, and everybody would be out stargazing. But I have the news that Christ is found here, right in His Word. And He Himself, of course, is recorded, His own words and ministries recorded, and all about Him is right here in this book. And so I want you to be wise. Knowing these things, it's wise to search for Christ in the Bible. If you were to come to me and said, I need to be saved. I want to be a Christian. How would I point you? I would open the Bible. I would select some verses that I know are clear, and I would say, just read those. It's self-evident. And I would ask you to put your finger right on that verse and pray that promise for salvation. Your faith is in the Word of the Lord and the Lord whom the Word reveals. Your faith's not in a church. Faith's not in a preacher. Faith's not in a system. Your faith is in the Word and the Christ of the Word. And that's how you are saved. Just like that star led them right to Jesus. Now, we come to their spiritual motivation. I like this part. I really, really like this part. This is what makes these wise men truly wise. They said, we are come to worship Him. And when the star led them to the house, verse 11 tells us, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. First thing I like about it is that these men did what they said they would do. They were men of their own word. They were spiritually motivated to find this child, the Lord Jesus, for we are come to worship Him. And to these men, to worship the Lord was meaningful. It wasn't just a curiosity hunt. It wasn't just an extension of their astronomers' curiosity and interest. They came to be worshipers of the Lord Jesus. Some people think that religion and religion that insists on holiness is boring. But to these wise men, it was thrilling. When they found the Lord, it was great joy to their souls. They came and they worshipped him. That's the word I'm looking for. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Great joy. Their hearts were in this. This was not just mechanical. It was not just business. It was the desire of their hearts. And when your faith in the Lord Jesus thrills your heart, you know that you're a Christian. You know that the work of grace has been done. When the name of Jesus thrills your heart, and when to worship him is your joy. To these wise men, to worship was very humbling. They fell down and worshipped him. These were not proud, conceited men, but they came to fall at the feet of Jesus because he was the king. And they knew that he was not just an earthly king, he was the king of glory. And this is what Herod didn't understand. He only thought in terms of an earthly king who might usurp his power and his throne. But to these wise men, they knew that he is the one that came down from heaven. This was the heavenly king, the king of glory. And our worship must have that sense of the glory that is in the Lord Jesus. Also, to these men, to worship the Lord was sacrificial. They brought three kinds of gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were not looking for cheap religion. Gold? I know people who look for gold at Christmas. I was in the mall in a quick visit this week, and I saw the jeweler's store, a lot of men in there, and I had a little twinge of guilt, and I walked on quickly. Gold, gold, that's expensive stuff. And these wise men, they carried it all the way from the east. Cumbersome, heavy, precious. And they laid it at the feet of Jesus. It was sacrificial worship. The other gift was frankincense. Frankincense comes mainly from the balsam tree. It is a white resin used in perfume. But the whiteness, it certainly speaks of the purity of our Lord Jesus, his sinless nature, and the wonderful righteousness that Jesus gives to his people. And they had their faith in the deity of Christ, offering him gold, in the righteousness of Christ, offering him frankincense, and then thirdly, myrrh. Myrrh, if you study the Old Testament, was an oil used in purification. It was a bitter substance. And of course, to the worshiper that is genuine, sin is very bitter. And our worship makes us to recognize the sin of our own hearts, and the bitterness and the ugliness of that sin before God. And it leads us to worship through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus and through the cross of Calvary. You cannot worship the Lord like a Pharisee whose prayer was, "I thank thee, Lord, that I am not as other men." That's the Pharisee. No thought of his sin and sinful nature. But if you have tasted of the bitterness of sin, and you hate your sin, and you come to confess your sins to the Savior, oh, that's true worship. That is genuine worship unto the Lord. So these wise men, they left their gifts. I thank God today for the interest that you've shown in coming to worship and to hear of the Lord Jesus. I pray that you have this exceeding great joy that was in the Savior. Do you know him? Do you want to know him? That's perhaps the most pertinent question. Do you want to know him? Your motivation is hugely important. And these wise men wanted to truly bow and honor the Lord. Why would you want to be a Christian? Well, there are many reasons that would be wrong and spurious. Judas, of course, was the traitor. All he was interested in was the money out of religion. Demas, he was the man who forsook the apostle, having loved this present world. He loved its pomp and its praise. Multitudes, however, do worship the Lord Jesus for the right reason, because they know that they're a sinner. They know that they're lost without a Savior. And they believe the book, the word concerning Christ, and they put their trust in the Lord Jesus. And now I'm going to follow Don's request for Friday night. He couldn't be here Friday night, but he wanted me to quote this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is the true purpose for the Father sending his Son. And that's the true purpose, to believe on him, that you might not perish, but have everlasting life. I pray today that this will be your birth in Christ, to know him, to trust him, and to find this joy in worshiping the Lord Jesus. Good news is that they went home another way. They did not go back to Herod. They went home another way, but they had news to tell. I trust you have that good news in your heart, or if not, that you will come and give your heart to the Savior. Our final hymn today is 91 in our hymnal, 91. Once in royal David's city stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Number 91. Let's stand to sing, please, in this hymn.
Mother, blood, Jesus Christ.
From our house to yours, we wish you a blessed Christmas. We hope that you will join us this evening, but if not, we look forward to seeing you very soon again. Bless you in your travels, keep you in all your ways, and encourage your heart. But above all, if you're not a Christian, that you will open the book and read the scriptures. It is the light that will lead you to personal faith in the Lord Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank thee for this time in your house, for all thy grace to us. We ask that you will continue to speak and to bless. Thank you for your mercies to us in sending your Son. We thank thee today for our Lord Jesus. And now dismiss us with your blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your people now and ever. Amen.